Good for her.
Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. We had a little week off. I hope you relaxed last Thursday when we didn't have a show.
No.
Okay. I like your honesty. No. I cleaned out the closets.
No, actually, last week for Thursday, I was at my mom's house, and I was helping her finish out her apartment so that she can get a new tenant in there. So I did that for her last week, and we finished up, and it was good.
Oh, well, so time well spent. I know I had a wonderful week in Cancun. The weather was so beautiful, so perfect. And they had all kinds of wonderful things, like a Mayan, ancient Mayan dance for the full moon, which they did, which was exciting.
Oh, wow.
They had one night fire dancers. They had another night Michael Jackson review where they had like
dancing. Oh, where did you stay? I saw the Michael Jackson review when I was in Cancun.
I stayed at the Fiesta Americana. and
I love that place.
Condesa. Me too. Because
okay.
This was all-inclusive. It was like so fun. And I mean, I've never seen a place like this. You felt like you were in Disney World. I mean, everything's all inclusive. They have a little ice cream shop and coffee shop and a little sushi bar and brick.
Did you have the coconut ice cream?
It was like, and you know, I don't eat sweets, but I had it twice, two little scoops. Okay, I mean, it was so good that
I knew it.
I had to have it. I mean,
yep,
it was delicious.
Don't blame you.
It was so delicious. I had like the tiniest scoop each time, and I was like feeling so bad. And then we were on the 8th floor, and we kept walking up the 8th floors like 8 times a day. You know, I was like, well, maybe that'll burn it off, but it was so delicious. And I would recommend that place to anybody. I mean, it was so
great,
so inexpensive and so beautiful, and they couldn't want to please you more. So,
I know. The
weather
it's
beautiful.
Wonderful.
It was like, so you've been there?
Yes, several times.
Wow.
Several times. I was there. I mean, I was there quite a few years ago. I haven't been in quite some time, but the Rio I used to stay at, and I used to also stay at the Fiesta Americanas. And there's actually three of them there.
Three of them.
Yeah, there's three different ones. I don't remember the one that I stayed at. Maybe it was Grand Coral Beach, if that's a thing.
Yeah, the Grand Coral Beach is at the end of Cancun, and that's lovely too. Except
yeah.
It costs like would cost you about an extra $1,500 for food and stuff.
Exactly,
know?
Exactly. So,
but
I stayed there, and it was just gorgeous. It was absolutely beautiful, and I always loved going to Cancun. You know, I really do miss my days where I was able to just take off and go there. Like, you know, back in the day, you know, I had a different kind of schedule, a different kind of job, and I was able to just, you know, pick up and go a couple times a year. But my wife has been dying to go, so I think that we're going to try to make that happen for her, you know.
Oh, yeah, make sure you go to the Condesa because it's a little, you know.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It's so fabulous, and we really did have a great time, but it was actually a mistake. We thought we were staying at the Coral because we had loved it the last time we went, and we get there, and TJ didn't realize, so he gets there, he goes, this is the wrong hotel. I'm like, well, this is the one we booked, and the woman's telling us it's all inclusive, all the food, all the everything, and TJ's
all
like,
the
but this is the wrong hotel, and I'm like, TJ, shut up. It's all inclusive. Be quiet. And
Oh,
stop complaining.
CJ.
And he kept saying, are you sure we don't have to pay for this? Are we sure we don't have to pay for that? So we made a joke. You have the little band, the white band around your wrist. And I said,
yep.
I want to go through life with my all-inclusive. Like, okay, is this all-inclusive? Okay, can I have this? And so, but it was so funny because he couldn't believe he made a mistake. I said, this was a really good mistake you made. So
yeah.
It ended up.
You know what? That was divine intervention.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. And also they have
a
lot of healthy choices.
Money when you have this beautiful thing right here.
And they have a lot of healthy food choices, which I loved. You know what I mean? Because I try to eat healthy.
That's good.
And so it was really nice. So we had a great time. And one day maybe we can coordinate a trip where we all go together because we would have so much fun.
Oh, absolutely. That would be fantastic.
At least for one or two days of it. Well, we
definitely
have a lot of callers. It usually happens when we take a week off.
Well,
I'm going to go
we were
down
off last week, so now they're fiending. All
yep,
of our listeners are fiending to hear from you today.
Right, and I'm going to go to the 3622 first, and we'll do that one first because I think that's our Sal who calls in sometimes, and then you can do some screening. Okay.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Let me see what Sal has to say because we haven't heard from him in quite some time.
I know.
Hi, Sal. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? I'm glad
you're good. You're hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there. I made 1 year.
Okay, you did. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And are you being a good husband still?
I'm trying. It's very hard.
Okay. You're trying really hard, and I'm so proud of you. And you must have something on your mind to call into our show because we haven't heard from you in a while. So,
I'm getting ready to buy this house in East Mauritius. I just want to see if it's a good idea.
Wow. That's such exciting news that you weren't trying to buy a house. Wonderful.
Well, I got everything in order. I'm going to buy the house. I mean, I got to go to closing, but I was like, I don't know. I'm getting second thoughts about it.
Okay. Are you having second thoughts because you're just getting nervous like everybody gets when they buy a house?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you always get a little scared to buy a house because it's a big investment. But it actually looks like a good house. I mean, it looks like a very nice house. Are you happy with the house itself?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. It has everything in there. Swimming pool, jacuzzi, beautiful kitchen, granite kitchens. It's 3,400 square feet. You know, it's got a big piece of property, skylights, everything I was looking for. But I was, you know, once you get these numbers from the bank and everything like that, you're like, oh, my God, am I going to be able to do this in 20 years, 30 years, you know?
Right. Well, it can be a little scary, for sure. What I'm looking here is that, you know, you might feel a little tight with it, you know, because it does look like some big numbers here. But, you know, you both work. You should be, you know, it looks like you'll be able to swing it. I mean, did you realistically? Now, I'm not talking about you being afraid, but realistically, because I remember we went through with Nicole when she just got her new condo where she lives. She wasn't sure if, you know, running the numbers and everything, and she was nervous, but it turned out great for her.
You know, these mortgage people are like used car salesmen. The numbers constantly change. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, 1 minute it's this, and then the closing costs change. And I'm like, listen, I need accurate numbers here. You know, they refuse to give me accurate numbers.
Okay, well, I'm not disliking the house at all, but I did get the devil card on it when it comes to, like, when I asked, okay, let's ask about the people who are he's dealing with here.
Sure.
And, you know, I would not sign anything until I saw it, like you said, without accurate numbers. I mean, if the closing cost becomes, you know, three times as much as you thought, I mean, there's no reason why the numbers shouldn't be accurate. You know,
right.
Like, it should be constantly changing.
Well, the guy who lived there, believe it or not, his daughter was friends with my daughter. And, I don't know, he got divorced or whatever, and he owns a liquor store. You know, he was selling a house. I guess he couldn't afford it anymore. He's moving with his girlfriend or whatever the deal was. Not that there's bad comedy. I'm going to sage the whole place anyway. I was
that doesn't matter because you're going to be living there, and you'll put your good energy in there.
Yeah,
so.
I was just wondering if it's a good idea. Is my son going to be able to find me? Because he hangs around here all the time.
Oh, no, your son... First of all, your son likes the jacuzzi, He'll be around. Right. Don't worry about that. That kid knows how to live. I'm just seeing is that you have to, I got the justice card next to the devil card. You got to get the numbers, like, accurate because, you know, sometimes it's like, the, you know, it's the prince that becomes the beast syndrome. They tell us one thing and then it becomes another. And, you know, a lot of people end up losing their homes because they never really knew what the story was. So, you know, I would not sign anything or go to closing unless you have accurate, because I think some of the costs are actually higher than they originally said to you. So it could alter some things, you know, for you. You know,
yeah,
so
that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting.
And I think some of the costs to run the house may be higher than what they're telling you to.
Okay.
Do you know what the taxes are and everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know all that. I get all the taxes, and I know what the mortgage payment is, and I know what the interest rate is. And she called me today, and I don't know, some program. She got my interest rate down. But I said, what are the closing costs? She said, well, we don't know until we go to the underwriters and all this stuff. And I was like, well, listen, I need accurate numbers here. You know, and the thing is I already got a deposit on this house. We already signed contracts and everything like that. You know, and I could lose $20,000. You know, even though I got a pre-approval, but now it's like I have to go to the underwriters and yada, yada, yada. And I'm just, you know, I just can't get an accurate figure. So that's what's making me nervous. You know, what's making me nervous is they're telling me that it's one price a month, and then the interest rate went up, and I said, forget it, and I got to back out of this somehow. And then she, you know, 2 weeks later, she told me some program came up, and now the interest rate went down. So I'm like, I don't understand.
You know, they play a lot of games. They try to oftentimes see what they can get out of you. You know what I mean? How much if they can get another point out of you, you know, and that's oftentimes the lenders. Ultimately, it looks like it should come out okay. So just, you know, it looks good here. You know, the house looks fabulous. Again, you know, go with your gut a little bit. You know, you can tell already they're jerking you around a little bit. Now they're back to the price because you were going to not take it, you know.
Right. Okay, forget it. I can't do it.
I mean, and it looks like you got the house for a good price, too.
Yeah,
so.
I got it for a very good price. Very good price, you know. But, you know, and I just want to know how my son's doing. That's all.
Well, first of all, your son's very excited. He's very excited about the move. He seems to think you're going to love it there. And he misses you like crazy. He missed Halloween. You called him the right day because he seems to be a kid that really liked, you know, things like Halloween and things. So you called on the right day for him.
Real quick, I had my granddaughter's birthday was October 3rd. I went over there to see her for her birthday. They blocked me out of everything. They blocked us all. They blocked my younger son, who is the godfather. And blocked everybody, and then she said that you could thank told my younger son she could thank her mother for that. I went over there, and a big argument occurred, and she was yelling and screaming, and it was real bad. So I think I'm going to have to go to court now to get a presentation with to see my granddaughter.
And
so
you're
going
to have to, and your son wants you to do that because your granddaughter loves all of you, and she doesn't want to be
She looked confused. I went in. I pulled up. She came running out, gave me a big hug. Then she went in, and her mother, like, scolded her for running out the door. And then when we went to leave, we only stayed a few minutes. It was very uncomfortable. I asked the mother. I said, I'm a little confused on what's going on here. And she said, don't play stupid with me. You know what's going on here. Everything goes through Karen, which is my ex-wife. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not even married to her anymore. You came to my wedding. I mean, you know, what's the story? And then Gina, which was his fiance or girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, she started yelling and screaming and flipping out, and now she's dating a girl, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But when her girlfriend pulled up, she had to act like, and this girl's a very quiet, timid girl. She started yelling and screaming at the door and created a big chaos where then I started yelling and screaming. I think the girl was taping that.
Yeah, well, you're going to learn. You have to always do righteous anger, which means you just state facts. This is your granddaughter, and you have legal rights to see her, and you will take her to court if need be, and you should have left, okay? These people want you to look like a lunatic because then in court, it makes it look like you're the bad guy. So no more screaming, yelling. I don't care if they scream or yell. You don't do it.
No, I won't even go near her anymore. I can't even call.
No.
I called numerous times. You got me blocked. You got Rose blocked. You got my son blocked. You got everybody blocked. I don't know what my ex-wife did to kick this woman off like this.
Well, first of all, you know, it does look like you're going to have to take her to court. I'm not saying she's going to come around. And if you wait so long, your granddaughter is not going to know who you are. You know what I mean? If she goes on or not want to see you, because her mom will contaminate her against you guys.
I think she's already doing that.
Well, your son said he's going to help because he wants his daughter to know her your family.
What you're saying is I should start the proceedings and go to court.
Yeah, you have to just file papers, because sometimes it's just enough to file papers, and then she'll start coming around with a schedule or something for you to see.
You know,
don't give her any reasons for like why, you know, she, you know, like don't like, you know, you're crazy. You know, don't give any reasons for her to be able to say why she doesn't want, you know, her daughter to see you. But I would advise you, if the legal cards keep coming up, you're going to have to do that, or she's just going to keep you away for her for so long that she won't want to come see you, you know, because she's going to think you rejected her, you didn't want her. You don't want her to think that, do you?
Oh, absolutely not. I love that kid, but, you know, it's hard to...
Oh, I know.
Your mother keeps her isolated, you know?
Right. Well, it's sad, and your son is really upset about it. He said he's going to help to make sure that her, you know, he loves his daughter. He loves her and watches over her like a hawk. And, of course, she does love you, and she loves Rose, and she loves your daughter and your grandson and everybody. So the outcome looks good if you go to court, because you usually, you know, your son's saying Gina talks big right now, but she really won't want a lot of trouble going on here. So if you do take to court, she'll come around. So
okay. I'm gonna do that. I know you got,
you know,
a lot
and you want to show in you, and you'll have your new home, which is a wonderful place for her to come to. You know what I mean? There'll be a lot of good things happening for you. Like, let me know what happens with the house. It looks like you should be able to get it, but again, you know, the closing costs, if they look like they're excessive, you know, you have to maybe talk them down on the closing costs too.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. All right, I'll let you go. I know you got other callers there, but I'll call.
Okay, so good to hear from you. Give my big hug to Rose, please. And I'm just going to end this with, you know, it took Sal a long time to get to where he is, but you really come a long way. Do you know that? You've really come a long way. I've known you a long time, and I've watched you grow up now, and become a wonderful man.
Yeah, it's scary growing up.
But you did a good job of it. You know, I'm so proud of you.
Well, keep me posted.
You know, I'm always here for you.
You got it. I'll call you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. It's always so nice to hear from my clients that I've known a long time. It's so interesting. And the scary part about it is, though, is that I have so many clients, and like with Sal, I knew his son who died, and it's more and more of my clients coming who I've known the people now who've died, which is so different for me, because I know them on Earth, and now I know them on the other side, and it's interesting. It's really an interesting concept, because the first few years I did this, you know, it was never like that, but now, you know. And one of my clients who I liked very much, she was 97 when she died. And the last reading I did with her in December, we both knew it was going to be the last reading. And although she didn't say it and I didn't say it, but she kept asking me questions that I knew she was getting some life review.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't charge her for the reading. And she like was almost insisting. I said, no, this is my gift to you. And she said something that made me know that she knew I knew she's going. And she was like, thank me very much. And now all of her family members have called for readings. And today she said to me, well, I guess you got paid. I had a lot of kids and they're all getting readings. So she made me laugh when she said, when she said that.
That is so great.
Isn't that funny? She goes, well, I guess
that
you got paid.
That is so awesome.
And I just had to laugh because that was so her sense of humor.
She was
going to
pay you one way or the other. That was
it. Oh, she did. She did. And she's made sure all of her kids are getting a reading. Do you know what I mean? It's like
that.
So I kind of get a kick out of it. So, again, it's an interesting phenomena for me and to watch them as they transition and how they are. And it just, you do something long enough, it's so interesting about it. And I thought I would just share that with people because it's something that has been happening more and more. Like my clients come and I'll sit down and then all of a sudden I'll go, your sister died or your mother died? And I know these people and they go, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. It's like, I don't want to believe it. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
Because I'm expecting just to say, well, how's your mom? You know? And then all of a sudden the mom's like there and I'm like, oh my God, your mom died. And it's just a different phenomena. And, you know, a lot of them crack me up because they're telling me it's a lot like you said it was going to be, you know, stuff like that.
That's great.
Well, see, we have Amanda now. Amanda is another very long-term client of mine and another one I've watched
yep.
grow up. Okay, I've watched her grow up. I've watched her get married and divorced and change careers, and her whole life changed. And she's fascinating because she's one of the few people I know who seems to manifest whatever she wants. Whatever that girl's got,
yes,
I want.
Yes, the Amanda. Okay, I know who she is now.
Okay, she's the Miss Manifest. She wants it, she gets it.
No, we
okay?
were talking, when we were talking in the chat room, I'm like, Amanda, she goes, oh, yeah, because I said, you know, is this the first time you called Cindy? And she's like, no. She's like, no, I called. She goes, you know, we always talk about the garden. I'm like, the garden? And I'm like, vaguely familiar. I don't get it. And it's because I don't remember her from the garden. I remember her from being able to manifest like a nickel if she wanted a nickel, like, you know, to just magically fall out of the sky.
Right. Exactly. And it's so funny because now you know how I feel when I do, I read so many people that I can't remember at all. And then all of a sudden something will click and it all comes back.
Oh my
you know
goodness.
Mean?
Yeah.
And I'll feel like, why do I have a total blank about a person? And then all of a sudden, I'll visualize something like a garden. I'll go, oh, now I know. Now I remember. You know?
Yep.
So, yes, even her garden. Even her garden, she's never gardened in her life. She does a garden this summer. Like it's like she's a farmer. So, you know, so. And
she
was one of the chorus members in my play Beethoven. So she also sings.
Okay.
So she's got a lot of talents, this girl.
That's funny.
So let's hear what Amanda wants to know tonight because I'm always, she calls me her spiritual mother too. So I'm her spiritual mother.
Oh, she's
mom.
So cute.
Okay, so I love that.
Here we go to Amanda. Hello, Amanda, you are on the air.
Hi, I don't find a lot of nickels, but I find a lot of pennies.
Oh, yeah, well, you get those from your grandparents. They're always giving you, especially grandma, she's always giving you a penny from heaven. You know, just
everywhere.
And I'll
find everywhere. Butterflies
yep.
everywhere. I'm
getting butterflies.
A lot. Yeah.
Oh, right. So there must be something on your mind today that you're calling in.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I know that I got this new job, obviously. But I don't know. Something is seems a little bit off about it. I mean, I like it, but it seems weird to me that I get hired and all of a sudden, you know, it seems like people are sort of leaving. And I don't know if I should be, like, concerned that, you know, there's a particular reason why people are leaving.
Well, also know in America, especially with the millennials, they leave a job in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, you do it too. I've never seen people leave jobs so fast. So sometimes they think the grass is greener on the other side. You know, are they good to you so far in the place?
I think so. I think so. They seem to be treating me okay. I mean, like, I didn't know this, but apparently they're all kind of, like, family members to one another. So, like, you know, one person's a cousin, and, you know, the other person is, like, another cousin, and You know, one of the other girls, you know, her brother's like one of like the supervisors. So yeah, I don't know if that, like, I don't think that has anything to do with it, but.
But
you know,
family members leaving or other non-family members?
I believe it's non-family members.
Okay. Well, how long have they been working there?
I don't know.
I mean, there is a lot in America. There's a lot of people coming and going in jobs. So
yeah.
It's kind of common. I do see, you know, there might be one or two things you're going to find as the job goes on that you're not going to love. But, you know, ask Nicole. This, most of the time people, there's something they don't like about their job, especially when you're working for people and
right.
dealing with people. But they seem to like you. So I wouldn't look for trouble yet, okay? I would just, like, you know.
No, and I'm not trying to, but it's just, you know, you kind of, like, I obviously, you know that, you know, I've been pretty much a first responder, like, my whole life. And, you know, so I'm very vigilant about things, and I pay attention to a lot of things. And, you know, if I notice something, you know, it's like, is there a pattern here, you know? So that's just kind of what I do.
All right, but remember, that's part of, you know, in America, there seems to be very little stability. I mean, I think people feel that all the time. They go to a doctor's office, it's always different help, it's never the same people, you know, it's like,
yeah.
You feel like everything's always like, oh, who's this person? You know, no matter where you go, there's not a lot of people staying in a job for a long time. And your particular industry seems to have a lot of turnaround. Like, people seem to just move on, but it looks okay. I did get a shuffle in the cards, got a little bit of a devil card next to some cards that, you know, there may be one or two people you got to watch your back with. Okay. So, but basically I would just enjoy it, you know, until something comes up. It's also not bad when a certain number of people start leaving at once, because sometimes it makes, if there is something not right or somebody not doing something right, they change a little bit. They have to, because they don't want people leaving. So it could work to your benefit
that
so many people are changing at once. And you know, you've had a lot of change in the last year yourself. I mean, I hope you would stay put a little bit, because after a while it's going to not look good on your resume if you switch in so much as well. You know,
yeah, I thought about that too, and I'm not really looking to leave. I'm just, you know,
Is it a job you can study? I mean, like, you're trying to do your nursing too, so is it a relatively easy job for you that you can not stress about?
Yeah, it's a relatively easy job. I mean, there are certain times where it's, you know, like I'm doing three different things at once, but, you know, I mean, but it's not bad. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not breaking my back over it, you know.
Right. And again, that's America. Everybody does the work of eight people nowadays. Okay. I mean, it's difficult, but it actually looks very good for you. I know you're also waiting for a soulmate to manifest, and that's going to happen too. That's a good change for you. I see more like that's something that if you had your soulmate and you're in school, you have a job, you'd be happy. You know, you're just a little antsy for that soulmate, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly haven't been like focused on it as much, because I'm more concerned about, you know, whether or not I find out if I get into the nursing program. That's just kind of been like my number one right now, and that's really all I'm focused on, and I've just been studying my ass off, and, you know, I'm really hoping, like, everything that I'm doing right now is, you know, going to pay off in the end, and that's really what I'm hoping for. I do want a soulmate, I really do, but it's just that, you know, school is, like, my priority right now.
Okay, good. That's what I would say. Focus on school. That's your main priority. If you keep switching jobs, it's going to be hard, because it's hard to go to school, study, and start a new job all the time. You know what I mean? So you want to kind of have your foot here, kind of a nice base with your job, so you can focus on your career, your bigger career in the future. I mean, everything looks good. You don't have any bad cards. You have really good cards. It's a really good year, 2019, for you. And Again, get used to it. Now, Nicole, I'm going to ask you, because you're more in the corporate world than me. Do you see that in the corporate world? There's a lot of, like, changing, people just coming and going all the time
their
job?
Yeah, there's a lot, at least where I have been, there's been a very, very high turnover. There's been a lot of change of infrastructure. You know, I think that companies in general are just, they're having issues on multiple levels, finding people that are just going to really stay there, you know, long term. And it's been a little bit of a challenge for people to kind of just commit to one thing and just stay there.
And also there's a problem because jobs on Long Island do not pay what they should pay. Okay, they do not pay what they should pay.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay a living wage, and oftentimes people are just trying to get something that pays more money. So they're switching
mm-hmm.
to find more money. So maybe the answer for on Long Island is, why don't you pay people better and they won't leave so much? Why don't you give them a living wage and they'll be loyal to you? It's just, you know, if you're going to work me that hard, you got to pay me well. Because what I'm finding is my clients are moving on because, you know, they're making $40,000 a year, $35,000 a year. That's not enough to live on Long Island. So they're always switching, looking for another job that maybe pays $42,000, and they keep trying to inch up a little bit in salary. So what I see mainly with your place is a lot of people are looking to make more money somewhere else too.
Yeah.
And they realize after a while they're not going to make it there. I mean, there's a point where there's no room for growth or salary increases, and people start getting that feeling. They're thinking when they first start, oh, yeah, this is a career. You know, they'll promote me. They'll give me more money. When people realize it doesn't happen, they start to move on. So I think the problem on Long Island is that salaries have to catch up with the cost of living here. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous that people still have to commute to Manhattan when really with computers in this day and age, nobody has to go to Manhattan. You can do most work here. It doesn't have to be still commuting. But that's what I find most of my clients are moving in their jobs because they need to make more money. And that's a problem, you know. So let's hope that, you know, the employees start to realize if you got good people, pay them better, please. And they'll stay. Give them, you know, so they don't have to worry about money. You shouldn't have to worry about money if you're working hard. That you should be able to support a home or, you know, an apartment. So it's hard. It's very hard. But nothing's bad in your cards, Amanda. I'm not worried about you, okay? And you focus on you. You've been brought some friends. You've been brought, you know, you had a lot of change. I mean, I've never seen anybody have so much change and so fast as you've had, you know.
I know, and a lot of them I implemented and a lot of them I didn't, so.
Right. Well, I think your karmic lesson in the last 3 years is change is good. Sometimes we need change, but also sometimes we need to plant roots a little bit. And I would hope you would plant roots a little bit with this job only because you don't want to start school and then you have to find a new job. Because when you start a new job, that takes a lot of your energy just to meet people, get used to it, learn it. So if you could kind of get this job where you're almost on remote control, it would help you be able to get your school. So, you know, again, I don't really see anything horrible here. I do see that they could pay more. Are you in agreement with that? This place could be paying more?
Yeah, 100%. But, I mean, that's not really what I was concerned. I was more concerned with, you know, why, you know, like one day this person was leaving and then I find out another day that another person was leaving. I'm just like, holy crap, like what the hell? What the hell is going on here? You know.
Well, get used to it that it is going to be a world where we're going to work with people for a short time. We're not going to be working them for forever. And again, and if, you know, for corporate America out there and for doctor offices or anything, pay your staff better. I mean, I'm leaving my family doctor because the staff is so miserable. They're so miserable. They're so underpaid and miserable. And they book three people at the same time for the doctor, and I waited 3 hours for a visit. And I said, that's it. I'm not waiting 3 hours and hearing the staff be nasty to me when I said, really? It's 2 hours here already. Well, then get another doctor, they said. And I said, okay. I will get another doctor. No problem with that. But if you're all going to be miserable in an office and be underpaid and the doctor overworked because that doctor doesn't own that office, there's another doctor who owns it, you're going to lose, you know, you're going to start losing your customers, your clients, your patients. So I think that's something in America. Let's start paying people better. Let's get a better work ethic and attitude there. Because I don't know, Nicole, do you feel that way? Sometimes you go places and like, man, people are so miserable in their job. It's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned the doctor's office, because I have been telling my mother for years now to change doctors. And part of the reason why I told her to change doctors is because I had had my wife go down there for something, and like, he diagnosed her, and it was like a very, very severe diagnosis with like little information. And then we went for a second opinion, and like, what the hell are they talking about? This happens all the time, and it's nothing. So my wife was like freaking out for no reason at all, because what this doctor, I'm like, you know what? This guy, it's like he's lost interest in doing medicine. You know, it's like he just doesn't care anymore. You know, I mean, to boot, I had like a referral get called in. I left 4 messages, sent over a fax. They never called it in. And then I got billed 100%. And they were like, oh, well, they're not allowed to do that, so there's nothing we can do. I'm like, are you serious right now? You were supposed to do this a week ago, and you still didn't do it. I was like, after all these messages or whatever, and they were like, yeah, well, that's not our problem. You got to go fight that out with the referral. I was like, oh my God. And I was just kind of just done.
You kind of had
done.
Well, I had it because the earliest appointment I could get was 12 o'clock, and I had to get blood work. It was 3:30. I hadn't eaten. I never eat after 6 o'clock at night. So that meant I hadn't eaten anything from 6 o'clock. It's now 3:30 in the afternoon, and I'm about ready to pass out. And I'm like, really? Can you just take my blood so can eat my energy bar at least? Because I'm going to be, no. I was like, okay. So this is like something that it's kind of an attitude problem. And that's, remember I told you I went to Cancun. The Mexican workers, the people in Mexico, they were so joyful for their job. They put their hands on their heart to thank you when you say something to them. They smile through their jobs. They're gracious. It was like such a different attitude, you know, that we see here in America. It's like, what's happening that, you know, I don't need the office staff to be nasty to me, you know, like mean.
Nope.
Like, okay, get another doctor. Okay, really? Stop complaining. Really? Am I complaining? I'm asking you, can you draw blood so I can eat an energy bar, please? And it's just a bad attitude.
It's just so disgusting. And how people, you know, treat other people is just really, it's just gross.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no other way to describe that. It's just, it's absolutely disgusting. You know, people have got this sense of entitlement these days where, and they're just so nasty, you know, and it's not even like a righteous sort of anger. It's not even like you're doing anything to provoke it. They just think that, oh, well, listen, I'm the one in the position of power, and I've got what you need right now, and you're going to deal with whatever I want to give. And that's not true. You know,
yes,
there is
also
always someplace else to go.
Let me preface this appointment. I had gone 3 days earlier, and they didn't call me to tell me the doctor wasn't in. So now I haven't eaten, and I'm there again.
Out.
And nope. And so I said to them, well, can you just, you know, renew my prescription? Because I do need the prescription. And I don't have a day. And I don't have a day off for like 3 more weeks that I can come into the doctor.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, well, that's your problem. I said, really? That's my problem. Okay, and then it ended up that I had to see another doctor on Saturday, because Saturdays is usually my other day off, and I went in on Saturday because my other doctor doesn't work on a Saturday. But I was like, really? I'm supposed to, like, cancel all my appointments so that I can come back again, and you don't seem to care at all? It was like, sorry, you know. So I'm saying this is an attitude that is making patients leave, clients leave, but it's just let's get a little bit like pay people better, because maybe they'll be happier in their job and be nicer.
Yes, seriously. You know?
Yeah. Well, Amanda, let us know what happens. I don't think you have anything to worry about. It looks pretty good there. Okay. Don't look for trouble. Don't listen to gossip. Don't listen to people if they've been there a while and they're miserable, because as long as you're okay, don't even listen.
Yeah. Do you see me finding out if I got into the nursing program soon?
Yes, I do, and it looks very promising on the nursing program. Okay, it looks really good. So
okay, good.
Let's keep our fingers crossed on that. Nicole, say a prayer that Amanda gets into the nursing program because she's going to be a super duper nurse. So.
Oh, if I must. If I must, just for Amanda.
Wow.
Okay. Let's let her manifest my prayer. She could manifest me to pray.
And also, I forgot to ask, we gave a homework assignment of people, like, reading a little bit. Nicole, did you read? I know Andrew was reading. Andrew let me know that he did his homework assignment. Have you been reading a little bit? Did you manage to have a little time to? Good girl. Good girl, because that makes all the difference. A little bit of reading. You know, sometimes when I'm working out, I have audio books, which also is a good way to listen and help me read. But we want people to read a little more. Okay, because that's important. So,
I've been reading anatomy textbooks. Does that count?
Yes, it does. Any kind of reading. We want you to read. You could read your anatomy textbooks. You can read a magazine. You can read a book. You can read a self-help book, a novel. Just, you know, we just want to get people to read because it uses your mind in a different way, and it's a little bit solitary time, and it's a good, good thing to do. So, Amanda, call in again, and we'll make sure that we keep you right on track.
I appreciate it.
Okay, love you, my darling. You know that.
Love you too.
Okay.
Love you too, Nicole. Bye.
Good night, Amanda.
Now you remember Amanda.
Love you too.
Okay. Isn't she the sweetest little thing? She's so delicious. She's so and I will tell you what I love about Amanda is. She's been getting readings for years and years, probably 10 years now, I think.
Oh,
and
wow.
She listens to guidance. And that's why she's
Well, she's great that way. And that's why, like, I think, like, one of the first times I was ever on a call with you and Amanda, I was like, you know, I need lessons from her on how to manifest because, you know, she's so good at it. So I never remember that she's Amanda. I always remember that she's, you know, Miss Manifest. So, like,
okay,
that's the way
Amanda,
that I correlate her.
Okay, Amanda, A-M-A-N, okay, the manifest, a manifest. Let's call her a manifest.
Manifest,
okay.
There we go. Now,
okay,
from now on, I will always know her as that.
She's our a manifest, okay?
Manifest and Amanda, that's her new name.
And she does listen, and, you know, really, she listens. And sometimes I've had to hit her hard.
Well, that's kind of key to, you know, getting the things that you want is you got to listen. Don't ask for advice if you're not going to take it.
Nope. And also, you know, I was testing her a little bit about, you know, I know she wanted her soulmate because I had told her about 2 months ago, let's be patient with the soulmate. Let's get the career on target. And listen what she said.
Yep.
I'm okay. I'm more confident. So she listened because sometimes people get so obsessed about they want something. And, you know, we need sometimes to step away from that. And live in the now and do what we have to do now. And then, you know, the universe will bring us everything we need when the time comes. Just a little patience. That's what I've always been trying to teach her, patience. And I finally heard in her voice, she was patient. I love that. She was being patient.
Yep.
So we have Jennifer.
She's a good egg.
She's a good egg. She
yes.
is. That's the truth.
She's a good egg. No. I like Amanda.
Okay.
All right,
me
so
too.
Yes, we have Jennifer. Jennifer is also on Long Island, and she's got a couple questions, Cindy. She's got a little bit of questions about the guy that she's dating, but also her mom recently passed, and since her mom passed, there's been a lot of tension between, you know, her father and her sister, and she kind of wants to know, you know, is her mom okay, and, you know, what are your feelings on that situation as well? So here we go with Jennifer on Long Island.
Hi, Cindy.
Oh, and also,
hi, Jennifer.
Also, she's a friend of Karen.
Very good friends with Karen. That's how I met you guys.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now,
I work with Karen.
Oh, you work with Karen. Okay. Well,
that's how I met her.
Well, I will tell you this. Your mom's not thrilled about your sister and your dad right now. Okay.
I had a feeling. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, she's caging her words, which I have to ask her, please don't cage the words. Because that means they hold back a little bit. Okay. But they're not playing fair with you. Your sister has a lot of traits of an unfixable. Have you figured that out now? She's a
for many years.
She's a narcissist. She's highly judgmental.
Yep.
She's not accountable for her behaviors. And now that your mother's gone, see, your mother was able to bring out the better side of her. She was a little bit of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. She had a little bit of a good side. But now that your mom's gone, your mom's actually shocked. I don't think your mother ever wanted to see the full extent of what your sister was like. Remember, this is her daughter. And we tend to, as mothers, think, oh, my God, what did I do to create that monster? No, your sister kind of came this way. That's her personality traits. But she's disappointed in your dad. Okay, your sister, she kind of expected some of this, but your dad, she's very disappointed in right now. So how are you dealing with them?
Well, you know, it's been before my mother passed, she really asked
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. You're breaking.
I could. Oh, hold on.
You're breaking up a little bit. We didn't hear what you said.
Before my mom passed, she really asked me from the bottom of her heart to try to do my best to, you know, keep the peace with my sister, because she kind of knows that the way my sister was in our relationship, you know, is always touch and go. And, of course, I told her I would do the best that I could. And so the first 6 months or so after my mom passed, because it's going to be 2 years in December, things were going okay. We were kind of close, trying to stay connected. And then it just started all up again, like always. Everything is her way. She talks things that aren't true. And then what happened was that she started saying things to my dad and stirring up things like that. And my dad's living with me now since my mom has passed, and it's causing, you know, problems in the house, you know, with my kids and myself. And I've tried to talk to him, but he doesn't want to, he just doesn't want to talk about it. He's very stubborn. He's getting older, obviously. I just don't know. I don't know what I, you know, what I did. I don't understand.
Well, first of all, if he's living in your house, he shouldn't be biting the hand that feeds, okay? You know, like, you know, your mom's, that's why she's disappointed in him. In other words, don't get in the middle of things, you know, with you and your, you know, you and your sister. Just try to do what's called that righteous anger with your dad, telling him, Dad, I love you, but you're doing ABCD, and I want peace in my home, and I have to have peace. You know, you can't have him making trouble for you and your kids. Do you realize that?
I know. And I,
you
I
work
tried
too, you work too hard. Your home has to be a place where you have peace. Right.
I mean, I tried to talk to him the last time, and he literally just walked away from me. Like, he wouldn't even hear. Listen.
You know, your mom is understanding that maybe you're not going to be able to, you know, keep having a relationship with your sister, you know, if she keeps doing this. Don't get caught in the middle here, because there's a dysfunctional triangle called rescue, a persecute, a victim. You know, you don't want to start, you know, right now you're being victimized and persecuted by these two. Okay, you don't even want to play rescue or get in here and try to rescue the situation. The only way to step outside of the triangle is deal only with facts. Dad, I love you, but you're doing ABCD and that's unacceptable. Your mother is having, remember I told you she's caging her words because she doesn't really want to say what she's supposed to say or needs to say. Okay, because remember, she's only dead 2 years. They're still very human the first 5 years. Okay, they still use worry words. Instead of saying, I'm concerned, she'll say, I'm worried. You know, she doesn't want to say what she's supposed to say, but she asked me to say it for her. Okay, what she's saying to you is if you're, Dad continues to make your house a living hell, then he can maybe go live with your sister or find someone else, somewhere else to live. Okay?
Okay.
This can't be on you. This is your home and your place of peace. Your mother barely could say the words, but she's nodding her head. Yes, that's what she needs to say. In other words, so you're going to say to your father, if you're not happy here, or I make you unhappy, and we're going to have a war zone here, or a cold war, I can't have that in my home. You didn't come this far in liberation, getting out of a marriage to have this mess here, okay? So,
you're absolutely right.
You know what I mean? If you wanted that, you would have stayed married, okay?
Yeah.
So, you're going to tell your father, if I wanted this, I would have stayed married. So, if you're not happy here, and you're not going to put on a happy face, and if I'm not making you happy here, then you need to find elsewhere to live, because my home is a happy home. Okay,
yeah,
I'm a happy person.
And my
children
happy
are happy.
Person.
and I want a happy home. You see, what's happening is you're an empath, which means even if you want to ignore your father, the bad energy that he's giving you, you can't. Empaths can't ignore energy. So if he's going to be 10 miles of bad energy, you're going to come home from work exhausted and feel that energy. Oh, shit, I don't want to be in my house. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to be there. Nope. Your mother says, you know, she's with God right now. And what God taught, he did not teach us to blindly honor our fathers or our brothers or our sisters. He taught us to honor good fathers, good siblings. And if they're not good to us, we have the right to cut them out or at least not live with them. In other words, you can say, Dad, I want to preserve our relationship with each other because I love you. But I think if he's going to stay living here, I'm going to end up divorcing you and never seeing you again. So I think maybe you have to figure out where you're going to live. Okay, so you want to state it in a way that calmly, though. Now, and you want to say it calmly. I love you, Dad, but I am not going to have you living here, and it's ruining our relationship. You know, and first of all, Jennifer, there's very few people we can actually live with on this planet. Okay, and sometimes we can be really good with people if we don't live with them. Okay, but if we live with them, there's very few people. But just state the facts that this is your home. You want it happy. If he's going to be miserable and rain on everybody's parade, then he can go be, you know, if he's going to be miserable with you, he can be miserable without you. Okay,
right.
Pretty much. And just stay calmly. If you're not happy here, then you have to find somewhere where you are. And remember, don't cry, don't engage. Don't be guilted into things because he's pretty good at pushing your guilt buttons too when he feels like it. So don't allow him to do that. It looks like you can kind of, I want you to nip this in the bud. In other words, it's getting ugly here.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you blow up and look like a lunatic because then they're all going to say, oh, look, we told you Jennifer's crazy. Okay.
Right.
So don't give them that opportunity. Always stay calm with your sister.
I just tried to make me like a bad guy, but I'm really not.
Okay, that's persecuting you, okay? He's trying to persecute you, then you're feeling like a victim. The problem is you're the only one who ever does any rescuing. Your sister's not going to rescue the situation. Your father's not going to. I don't want you to rescue. I want you to just deal strictly with, I love you, Dad, but this is the facts. You're not happy here, and I'm not happy, and you're not happy. So we got to figure out something's got to give. And you maybe you can live with your sister. If that's not possible, then maybe you get a little apartment of your own or a place to live. How old is your dad?
He'll be 78 the 4th.
Okay. Now, he, you know, these people can outlive us. Okay, he can live to be 100, okay? I mean, sometimes you got to realize, do you want to do this for 20 years? Do you want to do this for a decade? Again, he may come around and change his tune. I mean, people will push us and take advantage of us unless we put our foot down. And we draw healthy boundaries with acceptable behavior, okay?
Right.
And his behavior, you can't grump around. Now, your mother had loved your father, but she didn't always like him. Do you know that?
Yeah, there were some things that were coming around the last couple of years, yeah.
And notice how the good one died first.
I know.
Okay? That's because when you make your bed, lie in it, it's a good recipe for dying sooner than you should. She doesn't want him making you sick. Okay, now you could see what she lived with. He's a moody man.
Yeah.
He can be very moody, your father. He's got his moods. Okay, and again, you can
really
have your moods.
What
happened was your mother was the rescuer. Your mother was the diffuser. Your mother was the one that sheltered everybody from him. Okay.
And I'm realizing that now that she's not here.
I
didn't realize it before. She was the one that kept everything together. And even though all these things were going on, we didn't know it because of what she did.
Exactly. And your mother was a very good person.
And
but she was by nature an enabler. She enabled your father. She helped create this monster. Okay. And it's up to you to not enable him. You know, and again, it's just.
And I'm a lot like her, I think. So.
Right. And just say, you know, I love you, Dad, but this is not acceptable. You don't want your kids to not want to like their home, okay? That it doesn't feel happy or it feels the tension. I mean, you know, he gives off some energy that I'm sure goes right through. You go, oh, my God, you know, this is bad. You know, and again, I wish I could tell you just ignore it. But
I think it's getting to the point where I can't.
No, and you can't. And as far as your sister goes, your mother, again, she's caging her words, and I do a lot of telepathic communication that you're not hearing, but I'll tell you what I'm saying to her. I'm saying to her, it was wrong for you to tell your daughter to be her sister's keeper. Okay, that is not what God teaches. You're with God now, and you know the truth. So she relinquishes you from an obligation of that. In other words, she's telling you, you know, deal with your sister with the facts as much as you can. If your sister's going to badmouth you or make your life hell, you know, you don't have to keep her in your life. Your mother says just keep it at a minimum, small doses whenever necessary to see her. But
that's what I did, yeah.
It's not right because she is badmouthing you to your father.
Yes, she is.
She makes up stories. She makes up stories. She makes up stories, by the way. She makes up stories. And
just to meet her needs and make herself look good.
Right. And she's, and what happens is narcissists believe their bullshit. They believe their story. So it's making your father believe it because your sister believes
it.
It's not what happened, but she's believing it. And you're going to say to your father, you've known me a long time. Notice how the good child is who you're living with. Why don't you go live with her if she's so great? Go live with her. He doesn't want to live with her. The two of them would kill each other if they lived with each other.
She just bought a house. She's got plenty of space.
Well, this is what you're going to say. Dad, you're not happy here. You then go live with my sister. And you're going to tell your sister this. You're going to say to your sister, look, you know, you got a nice big home with a lot of room. You're not happy the way I'm treating Dad. You can take him. She doesn't want him, but you can have him.
Oh, definitely not.
She doesn't want him.
Cindy, before we run out of time, I got to know about this guy. I called you the last time, about 9 months.
Okay, how long have you known the guy?
So now it's been over a year. It's like a year and 2 months.
Okay, are you dating? Are you boyfriend, girlfriend?
So we had a conversation in the summer where we kind of said how, like, he wanted to move on and this, that, and the other thing. So a couple of weeks passed in the summer, and, you know, I gave him space. You know, I thought about it in the morning calling him. I didn't do it. And then I go to the same gym still, and I see him, and I wasn't going to stop doing what I do. So one day he called me up, and he's like, you've been acting weird. And I'm like, how am I acting weird? I don't really know what to do. You know, you told me that you want to date other people, you want to do whatever, so I'm moving on. And he kind of said how he wanted to work it out. So that was like the end of August. So we've been hanging around each other, going out still, you know, doing things, but I don't know.
I don't like the hanging around. It's all or nothing. Because he got his way again. You know, these men are calling all the shots. This is a new master over women. You could be my booty call, my friends with benefit, my friend, not my girlfriend, not my fiance, okay? You have to say to him, this is the same thing we had before. Am I your girlfriend? Is this a committed relationship? What's the story? Like, don't be afraid to put your cards on the table. I mean, he loves you. I want you to know that. Okay? He's terrified of it, but he loves you. And the point is, you know, do you want to go on with this the way it is forever?
No. I just want to understand what it is, actually.
He's got commitment
for it. Because for some reason, I do feel like in my life, I don't know if it's because of my age or things that have happened to me at this far. Like, usually, like, when I'm around guys and things happen, even though it's hard to get over them, I do everything to not be around them, not to see them, hopefully not see them. But with him, it's just, I don't know, there's something different. I feel like we really were meant to meet each other. I don't really
understand.
Yeah,
there's a soulmate connection here. Very strong soulmate
connection. I still am good friends with his aunt, and I told him, I'm still going to see your aunt, I'm still going to talk to her, I'm still going to, he was fine with it. He had no problem with it. His family is very nice. And I told his aunt, and I didn't badmouth her nephew. I just said, listen, this is what happened, this is what he did. She knows him very well, and she was fine with it too. You know, she says, you know, he needs to grow up, he needs to this. But, you know, I just don't know where to put it. It's really challenging me this time.
Well, you are not,
I don't know.
This is nothing new, right, Nicole? Is this not the typical 21st century male bullshit or certain human, where they just want their cake and eat it too? They want to have a woman who loves them, and they want to, like, let's take a time out because I might want to screw that one over there because there's a lot of Tinderellas out there, you know, that I don't want to miss something. They also want to have their bromances with their friends, so they don't want to really totally commit. You allowed him to call the shots again, and it's the same thing it was before. I mean, you want to say, I want to be a girlfriend, I want to have that title, it's all or nothing. You know, don't be afraid to tell him, because otherwise you're going
to
feel very insecure here.
I think that he was originally committed to me until I gave him space, and I didn't realize that I shouldn't have done it, and he read it the wrong way, thinking that I didn't want to be with him, so I think he went kind of out and looked elsewhere. That's what I'm really feeling would happen. My gut is usually not wrong, and I knew something
was
up.
Okay, but now that he's back, start with the discussion.
Okay.
You know, I want to be your girlfriend. Let's have, are we committed? I want to be in a committed relationship. And put the cards on the table. And tell them, oh, this is what I always wanted.
If the answer is no, that's it?
If the answer is no, you're going to say, well, I'm looking for someone who thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't want drama. I don't want disease. So if you want to
because
be with me, with only. Uh-huh. And you deserve that. And women have to stop being afraid that the guy's going to say, no, that's not what I want. Who cares? You know, if you can't grow
then
up.
Stop wasting your time.
Then you're wasting your time. And
I'm getting
too many women.
Ladies.
and I will tell you this. My clients that are doing it, that are putting their foot down, you'd be surprised how many men are coming around and saying, okay, I'm ready to commit. Because the women said, I'm not doing this
shocked.
Anymore.
I was just shocked that he even cared. Like, he was, I don't know, like you said, I guess it was to eat the cake and eat it too. Because when I kind of really did stop, like, really having conversations and texting him and calling him, he called me.
Right, and that's what I said. You've got to try to stop chasing after these guys, and because they'll just run further. Love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. You tried the 2 feet out, and he missed you. Now let's put 2 feet in. Let's not have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, or are you going to be in the same boat you were before? So you're a good catch.
You are saying that he does care about me, though, but maybe in another way.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay, and, you know, he may be afraid, and he may say, I'm not ready. Well, then maybe it's not so fun to go out and casually date or do things when you've had a soulmate and you've lost her. Okay, so how old is he?
He's younger than me. He's 31.
Okay. That generation
of
men are really slow to grow up. I'm just telling you right now.
I know. That's why he's immature.
It's like they're 31 going on 18. Okay, like, and it's a generational thing. You could thank my generation for raising them. Okay, mm-hmm. We were the Santa Claus parents, and we just, our children didn't grow up fast enough. I'm sorry. But be a little firmer on it. And you know, call in again after you the cards on the table. You know, the women in their 30s allow men to do this, come and go. So in 20s. So he's kind of used to women allowing it. So
okay.
You just have to let him know you're not allowing this anymore.
All right,
you know,
I have a lot of work to do. Thank you.
Okay, well, keep us posted, and thank you for sharing your story with
me.
And your mom is just telling you she loves you. She just blew you a big kiss, and she thanked me.
I miss you every day.
I know, and she thanked me. She said, Cindy, thank you for saying what was so hard for me to say. You know what I mean? It's because sometimes it's so hard for people to say the truth even from the other side, like, they know, because her nature is still the same, you know, where she's still a little bit of an enabler. Like, and I'm like, stop with the enabling. Don't let your daughter enable. Your...
I guess I get it from her then, because I feel like.
Uh huh. Well, keep us posted, and thank you for sharing your story with
thank
us.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much, and you guys have a great evening. You're great.
Okay. Bye.
You too, honey. Bye. Bye, guys.
Okay, so we went round the world today, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
All different readings. And isn't it funny, like, you get to see how when I talk to the dead, I have to tell them, you better not say that. You better not say that, you know, she should keep trying with her sister when you know damn well that's not what God's saying up there. You know what I mean? Like, and they always have this, like, stunned silence, the dead, and I'm like, I'm not kidding. And then, like, her mother was like, okay, say it. You know, it was like, okay, say
it. That's funny.
It is funny. So you learn a little bit about, even on the other side, it takes a little while for people to change or to get with the program. And again, mostly what God would say is no one's allowed to abuse us. Okay? No excuses for abuse. Okay, so that's our homework assignment this week. No excuses for abuse. If there's someone being abusive to you, I want our listeners, I want you to stop allowing it. Stop enabling it and put your foot down just with the facts.
Yep.
Well, we'll all agreed. Well, we'll talk next week, and thank you for everything, Nicole. You know I love you and could not do the show without you.
Oh, I love you too, Cindy. I love you too. You did a wonderful job tonight, as always, and thank you to everybody that called in tonight.
Good night, everybody.